The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released a new report this week. It shows the rates of sexually transmitted infections are rising nationwide. The latest numbers for 2018 show syphilis and gonorrhea at their highest rates in almost three decades, and chlamydia numbers are at an all-time high with nearly 2 million cases, an increase of 19% since 2014. Dr. Patrick Remington is professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, flesh this out a little more. What are we learning from this latest CDC report on sexually transmitted infections?
Well, first of all, people should know that STDs or STIs, stands for sexually transmitted diseases, are common. With this report shows 2.5 million new infections in 2018 alone. These diseases are often asymptomatic, so they're hard to diagnose, but they're serious. 20,000 women, for example, become infertile each year from untreated chlamydia, and almost 100 babies die from syphilis in the newborn. And finally, they're entirely preventable. They can be prevented through use of condoms, for example, or treated once diagnosed. But clearly, we're not doing the right things if the incidence keeps increasing.
Are we seeing certain populations have more exposure to these infections?
Well, we do. We know that STDs are more common in people who are poor, people who use drugs, and people who live in certain low-income areas. But those are related to really challenges in getting access to services. These are the same places where they might not have access to a clinic or to see a doctor to get screened. So it really is not sort of so much an individual issue as an entire system of not providing the care and the prevention that people need.
Were we getting better at providing those services and have now somehow gotten worse in recent years?
Well, I think it's sort of two stories. One is for certain populations. Yes, we're getting better. The Affordable Care Act, for example, required that people have access to annual screening under the age of women under the age of 25, and that is paid for. So if you are accessing health services, you're seeing your doctor regularly, or your doctor is actually doing the screening as recommended, then you're going to be well off. You're going to, if you do fail to prevent an STD, then it'll be found and treated. But many people don't access health care, even though it's available. And there's a stigma from STDs, a stigma related to not wanting to talk with your provider, not wanting to perhaps share with your parents that you're sexually active. And so that stigma makes it harder to diagnose and then harder to treat.
And that screening helps not just the individual who gets screened and hopefully treated. That's part of the story and also preventing the spread of these illnesses, right?
Well, no questions. If one has an STD and they're asymptomatic, then they are at risk of spreading it to other individuals. And that happens all too often. We have systems in place. Our state and local public health infrastructure, all the way from the CDC to the state health department to local health departments, have had a longstanding system of contact tracing so that if a STD is reported to the local health department, they not only go out and speak with the individual, but all the contacts. And that system is incredibly effective at interrupting the spread. But with budget cuts that have been seen, staff layoffs, and less clinic hours, those systems are really at risk of not being able to provide the kind of services they have in the past.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, about new numbers from the CDC showing a rise in certain sexually transmitted infections around the United States. Patrick, back in the days during and after the peak of the HIV crisis, there was a lot of public health messaging about safe sex. The message was really out there. Is that something that also helped people prevent getting or transmitting these other diseases? And now that we're not hearing those messages as much, that's part of our problem here?
There's no question that these messages need to be repeated continually. Just because awareness went up following the HIV epidemic, doesn't mean that we can hold back and not continue that. I think there's a general sense that if you're not having symptoms and you may be having unprotected sex, that you're all right. And that's the reason that the recommendation is annual screening for every woman who's sexually active up to the age of 25, just because of the possibility that there is an infection that would be undetected. So we need not only public information, like talking about it in this radio hour, but also physicians need to really put those recommendations into place. We shouldn't put the burden on the patient to have to remind a physician or a provider that they need to be screened. That should be part of every regular and routine care visit, that it's time to have the annual chlamydia screen for a young woman who's sexually active.
We see reports again and again that younger people are less likely to be having sex than, say, past generations did. The age of first sexual experience is going up over time in a way that makes these STD numbers seem even more surprising to me.
Well, it is. That's a progress. Rates of teenage pregnancy have declined. The age at first intercourse has increased. So those are good news reports. But there are populations that continue to be at risk. And so just as we make some progress, we have to keep looking at areas and looking at data like this report where we need to really do better. And so although those are promising advances, clearly we have to do more, not just in the doctor's office again, but in community clinics. Planned Parenthood, for example, is having trouble meeting the demand for seeing people. And those would be people who would normally come in, get screened, and get treated. And they're just not able to provide those services today.
You mentioned one particular population group that you and I have talked about a lot before, people who are addicted to one or another form of drugs. And they, as you were touching on, are one of the populations seeing this rise in STDs. Can you talk more about how to reach out and hopefully, I guess, treat both of those problems?
Well, that's one of the most challenging public health problems we're facing today. The opioid epidemic combined with poverty and unstable housing. Imagine how hard it is if you are living in that situation to, first of all, be seeing a physician, but also being able to afford the care that's required. That's why the Affordable Care Act provides screening at no cost to the patient and treatment at no cost. And so, but still, that's a hard-to-reach population. It's important to that everybody understands that that's not the only population at risk. Mm-hmm. These STDs are incredibly common. They happen at college campuses and people who are living in suburban communities as well. So, again, the take-home message is that with 2.5 million new infections in 2018 alone, we should recognize that it's common and that people, if they've had unprotected sex, might not be symptomatic, but they could have a serious disease, again, leading to infertility, or should you have a baby, even the infant can be affected.
That's another part of the CDC report you touched on earlier. Congenital syphilis is something that the CDC has talked about, infants born with this STD. You mentioned earlier this is something that should be easily preventable.
Well, that's one of the most alarming parts of this report. The CDC, I think, is most concerned about the increase in congenital syphilis. Rates went up 40% in 1 year alone. The deaths went up about 20%. And this is a disease that is entirely preventable. Women who are pregnant should be screened, and if they're at higher risk, they should be screened continually throughout pregnancy. And it's entirely preventable. So this is 100 babies who died in 2018 who died unnecessarily. This illness is easily screened and easily treated, but obviously that doesn't happen for all women. And so we need to extend this regular preventive service that most women have access to every woman who's pregnant, and so that they're not only seeing physicians, but they're getting the best kind of care.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about new numbers from the CDC showing sexually transmitted infections on the rise in the U.S. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions or comments on this this information? Do you feel like your sex education gave you the tools you need to avoid these kinds of infections? If you're a parent, do you talk to your kids? How do you talk to your kids about the risk of sexually transmitted diseases? If you're in the schools, what's going on in your district? If you're in healthcare, is this a routine part of screening for patients? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation about a nationwide increase in the number of sexually transmitted diseases, according to new CDC data. Dr. Patrick Remington stays with us from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences with teaching about these issues or treating them. If you're in schools, if you're in healthcare, I'd love to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number. I want to bring another voice in the conversation. Lorianne Stanislawski is a training and communications coordinator for the STD control section of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Lorianne, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What kind of things are we doing in the state to try to turn this around, to lower sexually transmitted infection rates?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things in Wisconsin to do that. And I'm sure that you've talked about the fact that the number three, the top STDs which are reported, gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis. There are more than 80 diseases which are reportable in Wisconsin, but these three diseases comprise more than all the other diseases combined. So there's more STDs reported in Wisconsin than all other reportable communicable diseases. So we do focus on those infections. And in Wisconsin, there are 72 counties and 90 health jurisdictions, and the everyday work in public health occurs for follow-up of STD infections. So local health departments receive case reports from laboratories and clinicians, and they contact patients with positive tests for gonorrhea and chlamydia and syphilis, and they provide epidemiologic case follow-up to make sure that person was properly tested and treated, and that they talk about their partners to make sure that those people are properly tested and treated as well. So we're referring people in for testing and treatment, and that work happens every day. Some of the more unique work that we might do, occurring less often, we recently just had a STD summit in Wisconsin Dells last week, is the 7th annual Wisconsin STD summit, and that is for local public health nurses, laboratorians, clinicians around the state who are interested in STD control to sit down and have to talk and network on STD topics. And we had speakers from the CDC talking about the STD update that you had just talked about, the report. Mm-hmm. They talked about behavior change, client-centered communication. They build community partnerships around Wisconsin. So that STD summit is, we work with a partner agency called Healthcare Education and Training. And Healthcare Education and Training works within six states in the Midwest. And they provide development for programs in STD prevention, education, and training to local health department and other staff to reduce sexual health outcomes.
Are there efforts at making sure people have access to testing, especially populations in the state that might not routinely access health care?
Yeah, there's a project that we work on called Get Yourself Tested, or the GYT campaign. It's a national campaign that we then bring to locals around the state. So we have health departments that work with us to make sure that they are offering testing in their areas. I have an example of a couple in Chippewa County. They increased partnership with their jail system to provide the GYT testing at the jails a few times a year, and they use funds to purchase condoms and dispense condoms at public events such as Country Fest and Rock Fest, and it's appreciated by the fest goers. members to have that available to them. In Eau Claire, they recently, this summer, participated in a summer pop-up food pantry events where the health department provides education at the events and gives in-person individual education to people, as well as collaborating with organizations in the area for HIV testing and STI education and testing at local bars. They provide education to high schools. Many communities do that. In Barron County and in Eau Claire County, there is efforts in the middle schools and high schools to do that. And then at the college level, there are annual events for incoming freshmen so that they learn about the services available in the community. They provide STD education and offer free testing and condoms.
And Lorianne, before I let you go, are you hoping these CDC numbers are a wake-up call for everyday people and the healthcare community on STDs?
Yes, I want to echo Dr. Remington's concerns about making sure that women get tested during prenatal care for STDs, including three tests for syphilis, and also the work that's done in the public health departments continues. So reporting to public health is a very important piece of that, and we are also part of a national effort to reduce drug-resistant gonorrhea in Wisconsin. That goes along with our public health departments and laboratories. And individuals, it's important for communication and reducing stigma, so we appreciate talking about this information on the radio today.
Lorianne, thanks a lot for joining us.
All righty.
That's Lorianne Stanislawski with the STD Control Section from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Dr. Remington, before we go to a caller, some creative outreach there, bars, concerts, colleges, of course. So what do you think of some of what you heard there?
Well, first of all, the infrastructure that's sort of behind the scenes in our local and state health department is phenomenal. These are really the unsung heroes of public health and health care. They go to work when problems occur in communities, and with the struggles in funding, they just aren't able to provide the services that they need. So we need more innovative approaches, outreach approaches like she described, but still we need to go back and support that public health infrastructure. And I think every time you think about paying taxes, you ought to think that taxes that go for your public health department are well spent.
Let's bring on a caller now. Rachel is with us in Milwaukee. Rachel, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Rachel?
So I was a disease intervention specialist in Milwaukee for about 3 years. So I did the contact tracing on STDs in this area. And I guess what I wanted to bring up with some of the complexities of this issue, we see that STDs are more heavily impacting people who identify as Black or African American. Just in general, they tend to impact minorities more, especially in the city of Milwaukee. So I think that's a complexity of the issue that hadn't been mentioned yet. And then as far as, I know you guys mentioned contact tracing earlier. One of the things that's been making that really difficult in the past few years has been a lot of these dating and hookup apps. Things like Tinder, Grindr, Jacked, apps like that make it very hard to locate people who have been exposed because of the anonymous nature of these apps.
Rachel, thanks for the call. That second point first, Patrick, this could be, this makes it harder to track contact, she says.
Absolutely. The work of people in the field doing contact tracing is incredibly complex, and I admire people who, sort of boots on the ground doing this kind of public health work. It is very difficult, particularly in areas in inner city Milwaukee, in predominantly African American communities. It's a challenge that community is confronting. So we need those services. We need people really to do this work. And social media sometimes makes life better, sometimes it doesn't. And this is an example where it makes those public health workers' life incredibly complicated. It's not like just knocking on doors, going down the street, finding contacts. These are contacts that are much more complicated to trace. And it's not to blame them or punish them. It's to provide treatment, to get them screened, and to interrupt the transmission throughout the community. So it really is an important thing that we address the stigma talk about it in the open, and then support those important healthcare and public health infrastructure that we have so that it can do the work.
Thanks for that call, Rachel. In our last minute or so, Patrick, people might think, well, these are no big deal. Antibiotics work for them, so I don't have to worry about it. What would you say to that mindset?
Well, I think you sort of get what you pay for. And if we ignore these common illnesses, again, 2.5 million is a big number. So it's incredibly common and incredibly serious. Many women face infertility each year. Again, 20,000 women each year who are facing infertility. Those can be attributed to untreated chlamydia infections alone. And why wait until we have babies suffering from a congenital syphilis or women dealing with infertility? Why not do the things we know work? First of all, prevention is incredibly important. Everybody needs to understand that STDs can be prevented through condom use, but then early intervention through screening and treatment also works. And I think that's probably the most frustrating thing about this report is this: these are diseases that are entirely preventable if we just do the things we know work.
Patrick, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Patrick Remington, Professor Emeritus at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He's with us today to talk about what's driving increases in the numbers of sexually transmitted diseases, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.